Oh, hallelujah. He's definitely worthy to be praised. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't we just praise him again? Could you magnify the Lord? Hallelujah. We can't make him any bigger, but we can see him bigger through our worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. Amen. If you would turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 11. I want to tell you what I'm going to be doing the next few weeks. As you know, we're approaching Easter, which is April the 5th. And there were some monumental events that happened in our Lord's life that final week of his life before he was crucified and resurrected. And I know they were events of a week, and we have a month here, and we can't do them all, but I wanted to take some of the major events of Christ's final week here on earth, and I wanted to take each Sunday morning and look at those final events, or some of them. Now, here's the problem. Normally, the week, of course, always, the week before Easter is Palm Sunday. And that's when we preach about the triumphant entry of Christ into Jerusalem. But since I'm covering the events of the week, I'm backing that up. And so this morning, we're going to talk about the triumphant entry. And we're going to talk about other events in the life, the final week of Christ's life. And I'm doing this because my prayer is when we come to Easter Sunday, there'll be like this building and building. And on Easter Sunday, there'll be a climax in our hearts of all that Christ has done to secure our salvation. Amen. Aren't you glad for the price that he paid? Aren't you glad that he did rise again? He is the living Lord, and he is present in this service. Amen. Good to have Brother Wilson and Brother Norvell back in our Amen corner. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 11, if you'd stand for the reading of the word, and then you can keep your Bibles open. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sendeth forth two of his disciples. And he saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met. And they loose him. And they loose him. I want to preach this morning on like the donkey. Like the donkey. I believe the message this morning is like the donkey, we are set free. Our hearts are tamed, and our lives are forever changed by our encounter with Jesus Christ. Do you believe that this morning? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may your Spirit be at work in our hearts. Holy Spirit, anoint me to preach and to speak. Anoint hearts to receive, and may somebody leave this place, their life forever changed by the power of Jesus. Lord, make your power a growing force throughout the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen. You could be seated. I want to look at this donkey this morning, not in an exposition, but as an illustration. I had a woman pastor that was really helpful at the beginning of my ministry. She got me places all over rural Oklahoma to preach at. And she was a real unique lady. And like I said, she had an impact on my beginning ministry. But she had been somewhere, and the preacher, a male, had spoken against lady preachers, female preachers. So she came to me, and she said, I want to tell you what I told him. I said, oh, yeah, what was that? She said, I looked at him and said, listen, brother, one time God used a donkey. She was referring to Balaam. And she said, if you'll read the text carefully, it was a she-donkey. It was. She made her point using the donkey. And with the Spirit's help, I want to make some points about Jesus, the deliverer. But I want to use the donkey that Christ employed in his triumphant entry. Maybe you've never had a sermon on a donkey, but it's going to be that way this morning. You see, Jesus had often, at different times, entered into Jerusalem. But this time was different. This time, Jesus is coming to Jerusalem as the promised descendant of King David. He's coming as the anointed one, as the heir to the throne. This time, Jesus is coming to Jerusalem to claim it as his rightful royal city. The capital is his place of reigning. This time Jesus comes to Jerusalem, he is coming to claim his throne. And yet it seemed odd to so many because at this point, his throne was a rugged and rough cross. Amen. Jesus has come to this time right on schedule, in the plan scheduled of God, to come to Jerusalem to die and to bring salvation to all humanity. He's going to enter into Jerusalem as the king he is up to this time, and so that he could reach this time. He forbade the people. He declined every effort to recognize him as king. It would have been premature, but the time has come to be announced as king, and Jesus is going to enter into Jerusalem as the King of Peace, and we call this entrance his triumphant entry. Jesus and his disciples had been in Bethany. The Bible said he came to Bethany where was the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And there was a supper prepared, and Martha served, and Lazarus, who had just been risen from the dead, sat at the table with him. And Mary took a pound of ointment, a spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with the hair of her head. Even what a wonderful time of fellowship. But they have left. They have left Bethany and climbed up the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives. And right before they get to that top apex, the top ridge of the Mount of Olives, Jesus pulls up and he stops and he turns to his disciples, two of them, and he said, I'm going to need a donkey. And he said, I'll tell you where to find one. You go over to the village that is nearby, and there at the intersection of the roads, you're going to find a donkey that's tied up. It's unbroken and untamed, and never a man has ridden it. But I want you to get that donkey, because I'm going to need that donkey for my triumphant entry. Amen. I want to ask the question, why a donkey? Why a donkey? Well, it is to fulfill the prophecy. The Old Testament prophet Zechariah said, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, a donkey, and upon a colt, the foal of a donkey. Amen. He is coming on a donkey as a fulfillment of prophecy. But you might ask the question, why was it prophesied that Jesus the King would come bringing salvation? Why was it prophesied that he had to be riding a donkey? Why was that? Well, for one reason, in that culture and in that time, if a king came in war, he rode a mighty charger, a mighty horse. But if a king came on a mission of peace, he rode a lowly donkey to say, say that I have come with a mission to bring peace. I want to tell you this morning, he rode in that triumphant entry into Jerusalem up to a cross. He rode that donkey because the king had come on a mission of peace. I mean, at his birth, the angel said, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill to men. And now that born king has come to Jerusalem on a mission that through the cross, men and women at enmity against God, men and women of unrest of soul and mind and heart, they can have peace. I want to tell you there's only one way to peace, and that's through the work of the king on the cross. That's the only way you'll ever know peace. That's why he rode a donkey. But I believe there's another reason. No earthly king would have lowered himself to ride a mere donkey, maybe on a peaceful mission, yes, but not on a triumphant entry, not on a conqueror's entry. Amen. Those other earthly kings would have came with all their pomp and circumstance. They would have came with all their wealth, with the best horse they had to make a triumphant entry. Oh, but Jesus doesn't have to put it on. Jesus doesn't have to have the trappings and the regalia to impress of who he is. He came lowly with lowly garments, the son of a carpenter, no crown upon his head, no gold and gilt about him. He didn't need that. Everybody in his entourage knew that he was king. Why? Because in his entourage, there were people whose eyes had been opened. There were folks whose legs had been made to walk. There were those who had been dead. They didn't need anybody. They didn't need gold. They didn't need chariot. They didn't need horse to let them know that this is the king. And yes, it was a triumphant entry. Yes, it led to the cross. But that path led to triumph over every demon, every darkness, every sin, every sickness. Hallelujah. It was a triumphant entry. Howbeit, riding on a donkey. And the lesson of his coming lowly is that Jesus conquers through even the humblest of means, which included the death of the worst of criminals. He conquered. But you know, to me, there's a more important question. Why this donkey? I want you to think about that. Weren't there other donkeys throughout the countryside that were a lot nearer to Jesus than happened to go to a different village? Why this donkey? Wouldn't it somebody, I mean, think, that was a large crowd there. Wouldn't somebody in that crowd have had a donkey that Jesus could use? There had to be somebody in that crowd that had. Why this donkey? And the fact this donkey was unbroken, untamed. Weren't there donkeys in the countryside that had already been broken? Had already been trained? And yet, out of all the donkeys in Palestine, Jesus had a specific one in mind, and he chose that one. I don't know if the donkey knew the song, but if he did, he would have traveled towards Jesus down that dusty path singing. Out of all the donkeys he could have chosen, he chose me. He chose. I remember the days you felt that way. You ever remember that? Now, I know some of you are pulling up with that, me liking us to a donkey. And I'll get to that in a moment. But why all the detail? There's another question I have. Why all the detail about this donkey? Brother Dale, the scripture could have just said Jesus rode a donkey. That's all I had to say. But why all this detail of how he was acquired and how the disciples went and get it? Why all this detail? I believe it's because, as in everything Jesus does, this was just another illustration to show his great power as deliverer and savior. I believe that. We're going to look briefly at that. But if you're sitting here, one of those saying, well, it's not too flattering to be compared to a donkey. And the reason we feel that way, because we know that crude synonyms for donkey are used as derogatory remarks to say that someone's obstinate, stubborn, foolish, ignorant. That's the way the word's used in slang. But the great theologian, actually he wasn't a theologian, Mark Twain pointed out that the donkey's got a bad rap because they use his name to call someone stupid and obstinate, and yet in reality the donkey is one of the most loyal, dependable, and gentle and hardworking of all animals. Thus, if we take Mark Twain's input, when someone is called a donkey, it's an insult to the donkey and not the person. So how many feels better now about... I am going to make some comparisons. First of all, I want us to note the donkey was known to Jesus. Do you hear me? The donkey was known to Jesus. Look what it says in verse 2. Jesus saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find this donkey tied, whereupon never man sat. Loose him and bring him to me. Jesus, out of all the donkeys, Jesus knew where this donkey was at. Whether he used his supernatural power to see him tied there, whether he had made prior arrangements, whatever, he knew where this donkey was at. Hallelujah. I want to ask a question this morning. If he knows the donkey, don't you think he knows you and I, you and me? Do you believe it? And you may be here this morning and you feel lost in your soul and lost in your life. I want you to know, just like Jesus knew the donkey, he knows who you are this morning. He knows where you're at. He knows what your circumstances are. He knows how you're doing. He knows what you need. Oh, how many's glad that he's intimately acquainted with who we are. Even when you were way out in sin, a rebel against God, he knew you. He knew your name. He knew your address. He knew the place you had come to. He knew the struggle of your heart. He knew the pain. He knew the hurt. He knew the entrapment. He knew the snare. He knew the dependency. I said, Jesus knows the donkey. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he knows you this morning? Oh, let's praise him. Could we praise him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Secondly, I want you to notice that the donkey was set free, delivered at Jesus' word. Look at verse 4. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met. And they loose him. They loose him. As I've pointed out several times, this donkey had not been broken, not been ridden. And because of his wildness, he's tied up. He's tied up at an intersection. In fact, if he had wanted to choose which road he would have walked down, he couldn't. Not only did he have a choice to make at being at an intersection, amen, he couldn't make that decision because he was bound. He was tied up. Amen. Yet Jesus told his disciples, loose him and bring him to me. The disciples went and they found the donkey just as Jesus said they would. And at Jesus' word, the disciples loosed that donkey. Oh, hallelujah. I said at Jesus' word, the disciples loosed the donkey. I want you to go back in time when you were bound and fettered by sin and this world in darkness. I remember the time when you were in bondage. Amen. Bound up. Oh, but at Jesus' word, I don't know how many angels he dispatched. I don't know whom he sent, but I'm telling you, at Jesus' word, the chains were broken, the fetters came off, the prison door was open. I want you to know this morning, Jesus is all about setting free. I said it's being set free. That donkey could not have went to Jesus in his condition had he wanted to, but Jesus set it free so he could be brought to Jesus. At the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, when the prophet Isaiah Isaiah was read in the synagogue. Amen. By Christ. Jesus read it and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." That's the beginning of his ministry. He said, "I have come to set the captive free." I want you to know he continued that all through his ministry. Everywhere he went, he set people free. And now he's at the final week of his time on earth, the final week of his ministry, and yet he is still setting free. I want you to know we're on the other side of that. But I want to tell you right here this morning, Jesus is still about setting people free, delivering them, breaking the bondages that no other thing can break. He can set you free. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Goodbye to sin and things that confound. None of this world shall turn me around. Why? Because he set me free. He set me free. He set me free. Oh, hallelujah. The donkey was tied at a crossroads. And people say, well, Jesus mentions that the donkey is at an intersection just as a landmark for the disciples to discover the donkey when they went to the village and distinguish it from other donkeys. And that's probably accurate. But I believe there's also a picture there that if you're bound this morning, you have found yourself at a crossroads. Will it be this world or will it be God? Will it be sin or will it be forgiveness? The problem is, at that crossroad, you are bound and cannot respond, even if you wanted to Jesus Christ. But I believe in a service like this, the Spirit of God is here. The gospel is being preached. If you're bound at the crossroad, Jesus will set you free so you can choose Christ, so you can choose life, so you can choose forgiveness. Oh, you can choose ever. Hallelujah. How many remembers that time you were sitting in the pew and you knew it was a time of decision and you really wanted to come and give your heart and life to Jesus, but you were bound. You couldn't take those steps. You couldn't get up. You couldn't cry. Oh, but do you remember when he broke the chains off? Hallelujah. And you made the decision at the intersection and you were able to get up. You're able to walk the aisle. You're able to kneel down. You're able to call out. Oh, he'll do that. He'll set you free. I want you to notice one more thing before we go on. Jesus told those disciples, "You loose him and you bring him to me." Amen. Jesus used people to bring the donkey to him, and things have not changed. Look at verse 3. "If any man say unto you, why do you this? You shall say, the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him thither." Jesus used people. Nothing's changed. Listen to me, those of you that know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus is wanting to set folks free. But just like this bound donkey, he wants to use you and me as the ones to go to them with the gospel, to be the ones that shares the word that enables them to come to Christ. And he wants to use us to bring folks to Jesus. I believe the message is there. You go get that donkey, bring him to me. Jesus could have walked to that village, but he chose to use people to bring the donkey to him. Oh, but look what he said to them. Amen. You tell the owner who would be hesitant and wondering if you're stealing that donkey, tell him that the Lord hath need of him. That's all it took. Amen. But I want you to think, if you was a donkey and you could have understood Hebrew, what that donkey heard them saying to his master was, "Jesus has need of this donkey." Oh, a donkey, not a person, a donkey. Jesus has need of him. Hallelujah. I wonder how that made the donkey feel to realize that Jesus wanted him. I want to tell you this morning, you may be way out in sin. You might have messed your life up horribly. You may be in bondage. You might have done unspeakable things. things. But if you would listen to the emissary of the Lord, you would hear, Jesus wants you. Jesus wants you. Jesus has got a purpose for you. Jesus has got a reason for you. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that Jesus wants those that others don't? Verse 5, and certain of them that stood there said unto him, they did this. They said, what do you, loosen the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded. And they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him. And he sat upon him. That leads us to the next point. The donkey was tamed by Jesus' presence. Unridden, unbroken. Verse 7, and they brought the colt to Jesus. They cast their garments on him, and Jesus sat on him. The disciples made a saddle, if it were for Christ, with their very outer garments. And then Jesus mounted that donkey. He sat upon that donkey. Now remember, unbroken, untamed, unridden. But Jesus mounts that donkey, and it never bucked. It never tried to get off the path. It never tried to run away. Oh, I'll tell you why. Because the maker of the donkey, the creator of the donkey, is the one that was riding the donkey. But I'm going to tell you at a deeper level. Yes, that donkey was wild and unbroken and untamed. But the presence of Jesus brought a tranquility and a peace. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The donkey was tamed by the presence of Jesus. As the demoniac in the Gadarene tombs, that demoniac was tamed by Jesus and was found sitting at his feet, clothed and in his right mind. As the Sea of Galilee, its wind and its waves were tamed by Jesus. Like the demonic, like the wind and the wave, that donkey was tamed by the presence of Jesus. Amen. We're living in a time of wildness. Even documentaries or whatever they call them, reality shows, and all of that is about girls gone wild and this one gone wild and that one gone wild. They don't need a television show. Just walk out your door into public and you can tell our world has gone wild, and the wildness and the rebellion is fueled by drugs and alcohol and promiscuity and illicitness. It's a wild world. Every one of us is born with a fallen nature that's wild and untamed, a rebel against God. Amen. Standing up against the will and the word of God, especially in our youth. There is a wildness. Amen. There's an untamedness. Beyond that, there's wild emotions and wild desires. An unbroken will, an untamed will, an unsurrendered will, an unyielded will. But I want to tell you what Jesus does when he comes into your life. Oh, hallelujah. He brings a calmness. He brings a submission. He brings a peace. He brings a yieldness. He'll tame the wild heart. He'll tame the wild emotions. He'll tame the wild will. He'll tame the wild desires. I'm telling you, there is peace when the Lord of peace comes into your life. Hallelujah. I want you to notice then that the donkey experienced what he would have never experienced. Look at verse 8. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. We've climbed up the eastern slope. We are at the top ridge getting ready to cross over. Jesus mounts that donkey, and with a word or with a nudge, the donkey begins perfectly tamed. The donkey begins to walk forward. But the crowd that was with Jesus, they begin to take off their garments and put it in the path of that donkey, cut down branches from trees, and literally pave the path in front of Jesus. Some suggest that when the donkey ran out of the garments, he'd never quite ran out, because people were running back and getting the ones that he already walked on and running back down the road and putting in front of him again. Amen. The donkey bearing Jesus. Amen. He summits the ridge of the Mount of Olives. The people round about begin to be filled with an excitement. They're showing honor. They're showing obeisance by putting their very treasured. And in that time, they didn't have clothes like we have them. They're very treasured. They're very rare clothes. I'm not getting the word, but they didn't have a lot of them. But they showed their reverence to Christ by putting them in the path. Could it be said, and I believe it can, had not Jesus chosen that donkey would have never had that experience of walking on fine garments, walking on palm trees. He would have never known what it felt like to walk that kind of road. He would have never perhaps even went to Jerusalem and walked down that road. And he would have never for sure have carried his Creator on his back. I'm telling you, everything about Jesus, amen, changed the experience of that donkey. And he experienced what he would have never experienced. I tell you, if you'll let Christ into your life, you will experience what you have never and could have never experienced. You'll walk roads that you never would have walked. You'll know things that you never would have known. Hallelujah. How many knows when Jesus came into your life, your experiences changed? You had had bad experiences. You had had hurtful experiences. You had had dark experiences. But when Jesus came into your life, your experience changed. Hallelujah. They have crested the summit of the mountain, and suddenly breaking forth before them at the base of that mountain, filling the horizon, is the holy city of Jerusalem. At that point, the people with Jesus begin to shout, "Woo! Hosanna!" That means salvation is come, or come salvation. Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And all the folks in the city of Jerusalem looking over the walls, amen, folks in the streets of the Jerusalem begin to hear it. They run out of Jerusalem, begin to run to meet Christ. We got a crowd with Jesus. We got a crowd coming out of Jerusalem, and they're all shouting, "The King is coming. Lift up your gates, all. Lift up your hands, you gates. The King of glory is coming in." Oh, what an excitement. Hosanna. And notice what they're singing. They're not saying, "Here comes the one that'll give you a new car. Here comes the one that'll give you a new job. Here comes the one that'll give you new self-esteem." They said, "No, here comes the King, and he's bringing salvation. He'll save you out of your sin, from your sin. He'll deliver you. He'll give you new life. The King is coming." Oh, what an experience. Amen. Let's read it. Verse 9. "And they that went before and they that followed, crying, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Verse 10, "Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." They took a few steps down, that donkey did, took a few steps down that western slope towards Jerusalem. And then Jesus, with a nudge, a pull at the reins, or a word, he pulled that donkey up. He looked out there at Jerusalem stretched before him, and then Jesus began to weep. I said Jesus began to weep. I'm talking about the experience of that donkey. Hallelujah. Did you know that donkey probably had an experience that no other creature, man or beast, ever had? Because the donkey bearing Christ began to feel the hot tears of the Creator man as they rode down our Savior's face and splashed on the back of that donkey. Hallelujah. He felt the tears of Christ. Amen. Jesus was weeping over Jerusalem. Let me just read it. "And when he has come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou at least this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. But now they're hid from the their eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, and thy enemy shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation. Jesus was crying because he said, I've come to save you. I've come to deliver you. But like every time in the past, when a prophet came to you, you killed those prophets. You wouldn't receive the word of the Lord. You bucked up in rebellion against your heart. I've sent you prophet after prophet, and now I have come myself. This is the hour, the day of your visitation that I have come to bring peace. But you'll reject me just like you rejected all the other prophets. But this time, having rejected me, they're going to come in. They're going to destroy this city. They're going to level with the ground. They'll level the temple, all because you didn't recognize the hour of your visitation. Could I tell you that this may just well be somebody's hour of visitation this morning? The Lord is here to save you, deliver you, change your life. Now is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. Perhaps the Lord's even weeping because he knows for somebody this is your day, but you're going to refuse it. You'll walk through these doors rejecting a wonderful Savior, and he weeps this morning. But I'm talking about the donkey. He felt those tears from the eyes of Christ. Last of all, the donkey's life was never the same after this occasion. I say this because I know people, and I know how we venerate things. Jesus arrives at Jerusalem. He dismounts the donkey to enter into the temple. He cleanses the temple. The blind and the lame come to him, and he heals them all. And the little children begin to shout out praises to him. And the religious snobbish leader said, shut those kids up. And Jesus said, there's no point in me shutting the kids up, because if I tell the kids to be quiet, the stones will just pick up the refrain. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, like the choir was singing this morning. But knowing people as I do, I want to ask the question, what happened to the donkey after that? We don't read about it anymore in Scripture. Well, either the owners came and retrieved the donkey, or knowing Jesus, he would never have stolen what he had borrowed. Jesus had made preparation for the disciples to take the donkey back to the village. I don't know which it was, but I want you to know something. That donkey's life was changed forever. No doubt the owner even charged a mission, knowing people. Come see the donkey that carried Jesus into Jerusalem. How many believe that just might be the case? Whether it was or not, I'm sure the owner told the story over and over again. You know that donkey Jesus rode in Jerusalem? Come out back, I want to show you. There he is. Jesus, his encounter with Jesus changed his life forever. Maybe he didn't even have to work after that. No doubt about it. I believe the donkey was now broken. Probably didn't even have to be tied up anymore, because Jesus had changed his life. How many would lift a hand and say, after Jesus came into my life has forever been changed. No change in your life, Jesus never really came into it. Because you cannot have Christ come into your life and not be forever changed. 67 years, right? 67 years since Jesus came into my heart. Oh, hallelujah. How many remembers the day when he came into your heart? Look, I know this is rhetorical, but I mean it. If this gospel of Christ can't change lives, I'm going to close it. Well, it's already closed. I'm going to close this iPad, and I'm going to walk through those doors, and I'll never preach again. But I'm preaching this morning because I believe an encounter with Jesus will change your life for now and eternity. I'm going to keep preaching. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm going to keep preaching. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'm going to keep preaching. If any man, any person be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things are become new. Oh, what a difference the Lord makes. Amen. The donkey, would you come, music? The donkey's life was marked by the day that Jesus mounted him and in that saddle rode him. From that day forever on, that donkey was known as the one who had carried the king. I said he had carried the king. Glory to God. I want to tell you how your life can be changed. Before you know Christ, you sit on the saddle of your heart. You sit on the throne of your heart. And being on the throne of your heart, your life is miserable and it's dark. But I want to tell you, if in repentance and calling out to God, you climb down from the saddle of your heart, you climb down from the throne of your heart, and you let Jesus sit in the saddle, so to speak. If you're offended by this, remember I'm from Oklahoma. Amen. Amen. Let Jesus sit on the saddle of your heart. I'm trying to say, let Jesus take over the throne of your heart. And I'm telling you, if Jesus the King is in residence and Jesus the King sits upon the throne of your heart, it'll be different. I said it'll be different. You'll be changed. Life will be changed. Destiny will be changed. I haven't insulted you, but have we learned some lessons from the donkey in the triumphant entry? One of my favorite authors is Hampton Sides. And he wrote a book called The Ghost Soldiers. And in there he recounted on January 28, 1945, 121 hand-picked Rangers slipped behind enemy lines in the Philippines. And their goal was, there was over 500 American and British prisoners that the Japanese had incarcerated and so abused and so malnourished that they were about all dead. They so ill-treated those American and British POWs. So the American government trained and selected these 121 Rangers. These prisoners had been there for 3 years suffering abuse we can hardly even imagine. Here's what I wanted you to know. Here's why I'm sharing this. Those Rangers quickly secured the camp, killing the guards, being highly trained, special forces. And they began to collect the men because they're 25 miles from the shore where awaits the boat, the ship to deliver them. And so they quickly begin to try to gather the men up and say, come, come on, we're setting you free. The guards are dead. Come on, come on, we've opened the gates, come on. But they said those men had been so abused, so afflicted, so malnourished that most of the men just stood and looked at them. In fact, some of them began to run from the Rangers. They're fearful. They don't know what's happening. They said there was one in particular. His name was Burt Bank. The Rangers were trying to get him to leave and he wouldn't budge. He just sat there. A ranger even reached down and started tugging on his arm, saying, come on, we're setting you free. Run from the gate. And still Bert, he wouldn't move. And the ranger asked him, what is wrong with you? Don't you realize you're being set free? And the emphaticness of that ranger in asking that question, it finally clicked in Bert's mind. And the ranger said a smile came on his face and he reached out his arm and his hand towards that ranger. And that ranger got a hold of his hand, picked him up. They walked 25 miles in that condition. Two of the rangers died in the attack. Two prisoners died of their malnourishment on the way. But they soon boarded that ship towards home. But the rangers noted that even though they were filled, the prisoners were filled with fear and confusion and doubt. They said with every step further away from that prison, every step closer to that rescue ship, their countenance began to change. It began to soak in. We're free. We're free. We're free. I tell you, I understand something of what that ranger must have experienced, because I've seen people hopelessly imprisoned by sin, fetters, and chains. And forgive the rhetoric, it's just the way I feel, but I've stormed in with the gospel and said, Jesus has come to set you free. And sometimes I've seen that look of confusion or fear or rebellion or pride, and they just sit there in their sins, making no move. I want to tell you this morning, if you're bound, if you're lost, let me tell you one more time, He has come to set you free. Won't you just reach out your hand to Him? Let Him get a hold of your hand. I'll tell you, with every step to this altar this morning, it'll soak in. I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. Praise the Lord, I'm free. Reach up and take His hand right now. Let Him lead you to freedom. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, church. Would you stand? Let's pray across this building. God, do a work of eternal salvation. Hallelujah. 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 Here's the altar call right now. Amen. You say you may have been referring to me as a donkey. That doesn't matter. I'm tired of bondage in my life. I want to be set free. Amen. If you want to be set free from whatever that bondage, whatever that problem is, maybe you're lost. Maybe it's a particular thing that's got a grip on your life. Amen. Maybe it's an emotional thing, a mental thing, a dependency thing. But you want to be set free this morning. I want you to come without hesitation to this altar and say, Lord, I believe. You've come to set me free. Would you come right now? We use this step as an altar. Don't hesitate. There's others. Would you come right now? Say, I want to be set free. I want Jesus to change my life. Are there others you'd like to come right now? Amen. Lord, I want to be free. I want to be set free. I want to be delivered. Hallelujah. Let Jesus change your life. Amen. Are there others you'd like to come and join these this morning? Amen. Don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. Would you come right now? Amen. Some of you begin to come and pray for these. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some sisters right here. Some brothers right here. Amen. You want to be set free. You want to be delivered. I'm telling you, Jesus will change your life. Amen. While these are coming, church, one more time, lift up your hearts and hands and thank God that He set you free. Thank God that He's delivered you. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. He'll forever change your life. He'll forever change your life. He'll forever change your life. Oh, let Jesus into your life. Let Jesus into your heart. Hallelujah. I open these altars this morning for the rest of it. Like to come and join these that are praying. Make sure everyone is prayed for. Amen. Would you come and fill these altars? If your life's been changed by an encounter with Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. The triumphant entry. The triumphant entry is when Jesus comes into your life. He conquers the sin. He conquers the years of Satan's abuse. He comes and He conquers the holdups, the hangouts, the hangups, the dependencies, the fears. Let Jesus make His triumphant entry into your life this morning. Oh, bless your name. Amen. I want you that are praying with these to believe that Jesus is changing their life. If you're here this morning and praying, pour out your heart to God. Pour out your heart to God. Tell God what's going on. Tell God how you need to be set free. What it is that is binding you. Amen. Some of these children that are praying for salvation this morning, I want you to know Jesus knows who you are. He knows your name. He loves you. He needs you. He wants you. Jesus wants you this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Call upon his name. Call upon his name. Call upon his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let Jesus bring triumph to your life.
Jesus be the Lord of all.
Oh, Jesus be the Lord of all.
Jesus
be King of my life.
Lord of all.
Oh, Jesus be the Lord of all.
Jesus be the Lord.
I give you everything. I surrender all. Set you free. Let him set you free.
Jesus be the Lord of all.
Oh, Jesus be the Lord of all.
Oh,
hallelujah.